It's Mike Shoup. And the Bulldog.
You guys, we gotta take a break. More coming up after this.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Don't roll your eyes. That was my audition tape for an NFL pregame show. I'm not kidding. That's what that was. That was us making fun of how they laugh at everything and nothing's funny, but they're just like, oh, you guys.
You know when you can just tell when someone's close to retirement?
Is this going to be about me?
Yeah, you know, like you when the guy is just kind of lost it a little, like,
yeah.
You know, like when Jimmy Johnson, he's on Fox and you're just like, yeah, he's so close.
Yeah.
Like, that's you right now after listening to that open.
I'm uncomfortable now. Nate Gary's in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog. We'll just plow right ahead and welcome Joe Yurden in on the Western Hotline. Joe from Bleacher Report, long time on the NHL beat and the Sabres as well. Joe, what is up? How are you doing? How's summer treating you so far, man?
I'm really afraid to laugh at anything now.
Don't worry, I'm not funny. Naturally, it's I'm unfunny, and it'll be fine. So don't sweat it.
No, it's been a good summer, and I'm glad we don't have the $20 million offer sheets coming through here in Buffalo, because that would make things way too spicy. But yeah, it's nice and easy this summer.
Is a fireable offense for Pat Verbeek? Like I know they've matched it and they're gonna keep going, but like, he left himself, like, there's been a lot of reporting. I read a long piece by Greg Wyshynski about them nickel and diming every $10,000 is a battlefield and all this sort of stuff. And coupled with the things that made the rounds right after the offer sheet was signed last week by Leo Carlson, that he would have signed for like eight for nine or whatever it would have been. And now they're at 5 for $18 a year. It's just a very, very – he left them in a bad spot for Beek.
I think it's, you know, just – and this is all from the outside, and, you know, sometimes what you hear from people chit-chatting about stuff, you know, around the league and whatnot. But just that, based on what you see on the outside, you see what happened with Trevor Zegras in Anaheim and how suddenly he was available, and Jamie Drysdale. And, like, these guys were all, like, young, upcoming, potential star players for Anaheim. And then it was – time for their first contract negotiations, and things got very punchy right away. And it was like, they're coming out of their ELC, man. Like, what's the deal here? Like, why is this so on the outside? I never mind what's going on the inside, but on the outside, it seemed like, what's the hassle? Like, what's the problem here? And both of those guys end up getting traded to Anaheim, you know, not long after. And you're like, okay, what's the deal? What's happening here? And the only common denominator out of that was the GM. And you're like, is this guy just kind of busting everybody's chops about, you know, like what he thinks a guy coming out of that first contract, you know, can make, what they can do, all that. And I think that goes for just about everybody that was a big star player there. You know, Mintikov was another guy that I think even last year it was just kind of like, what's going on? Like, what's the deal here? And, you know, the adjustment period between things being the way it used to be and the way things are headed now changed in their face because of kind of how he was doing things. And, you know, it's not to say that's all on Pat Verbeek's shoulders. Other teams have dealt with this as well, but like, holy smokes, man. Like this, I mean, this went off like a bomb in front of their face. And they're just like, well, we got to kind of eat this.
Yeah.
And, you know, Carlson was Pat's guy. Like that's, you know, he's the number two pick. He's a big player. He's a guy that they've kind of built their future around. And, you know, kind of good on Danny Briere to be like, oh, yeah, well, how much does he mean to you? Let's see how bad, right. You know. And, you know, he did it. Now they got to figure it out after the fact. It's really fascinating. And it's really interesting about, you know, and I get it. It's going to cause, you know, reverberations through the league of how you treat guys coming out of those first contracts and whatnot. And you got to decide right away, like, is this a guy we're going to build around forever? Or is this somebody we're going to push that cart down the road and say, all right, you know, maybe in 2 years we have to reexamine this. But I mean, if guys coming out of those ELCs are saying like, I want $9 million a year right away, boy, oh boy, it changes everything so quickly.
Yeah, man. I mean, I definitely feel that. I mean, I thought they would match. I thought they kind of had to match. You know, four first round picks that you might assume will be in the 20s, especially if Carlson is on the Flyers. That's just not, that is not going to get it done. So, but now you've got Carlson and he's a great piece to build around, and he, you know, maybe he'll hit his ceiling and become, you know, a 90 or 100 point player, but you're paying him double what you could have paid him last year. I mean, it's just, it's insane how that happened. And they left themselves like that. Something that Joe, the Sabres really have been quite proactive about going back. I mean, Kevin Adams certainly had his warts. But the Tage Thompson contract, the Matias Samuelsson contract, and now you're seeing this Owen Power, you're seeing it be played forward by Jarmo Kekalainen with Zach Benson. You know, you look at the stats.
Andone.
You look at the stats and go, Benson had 43 points. What am I doing? But, you know, if you watched him all year and you watched him in the playoffs especially, I think you go, okay, that's probably a 55, 60-point player fully formed. And I've got him under contract for 7 years at 7.5. Like, that's, I think that's job well done.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Even going back to Adams, you know, the Tage contract, I think even at the time when Tage signed, everybody goes, well, that's already a steal. And if he becomes a 40 goal a year guy, that is a monster steal. And yeah, of course it is. And then, you know, the Samuelsson thing, obviously the ups and downs with his career, but if he does what he did last season every year at four and a quarter,
it's the best contract in the league.
Maybe ever. Holy cow, man. Yeah. You know, that's crazy. And, you know, you're looking at all this, and, like, obviously the cost of everything is just going to go up every year. You know, every year the cap goes up, the cost of everything just goes up with it. But, I mean, you know, you look at what happened with Doan. You know, Doan gets the opportunity, gets the playing time, gets that chance to show, like, here's what I can do. Because, you know, in Arizona, Utah, whatever, he was, you know, playing third, fourth line minutes and, you know, wasn't really getting a lot of specialized usage. And he was younger. You know, he's coming out of Arizona State, which, you know, no offense, Arizona State, not exactly a hockey hotbed school. So, like, you know, what he does there is kind of, you know, how do you really judge it? Mm-hmm. So you get him into the pros and you see what he does in the AHL and you're just like, all right, I know what kind of player he is. That's why, you know, half the people talking about that trade last year were like, well, he's a throw in. It's like, well, he's not, but, like, we don't know what he is yet. And then turns out what he is a 20 goal a year, heart of the team type of dude. And you're like, oh, right. Okay. Well, cool. And Benson's case, it's, you know, he had what, 43 points, 65 games, I think it was.
Yep.
And you see that and you're like, okay, it's coming. His game's coming along. And then the playoffs happen. And you're like, oh, all right. Okay. Well, let's see if we, you know, my idea was get him at the Doan contract if you can, but if it's like an extra mil, I think you live with it. And that's exactly how it came out. So, you know, things like that, it's just a matter of just like reading where things are headed, how things are going and what a player's projection is going to be. You know, you're not going to throw that money around at just some, you know, regular old guy. I mean, Leo Carlson's a great player and he had a great, you know, glow up kind of season for Anaheim. And, you know, you see the trajectories he's going on and you're like, okay, we got to pay this guy. We know we have to, but, like, you got to control it too. You can't let somebody else dictate your budget. And I think that's where things kind of got out of hand with Anaheim. And, you know, you let it get away from you for a year. You're like, well, we'll push that cart down the road. We'll do it next year. How, you know, how much worse could it be? Like, well, now every guy going into that last year of their ELC is going to be having that long conversation with the GM, or maybe they aren't. I don't know. Like, but somebody who's an elite player, they're going to be looking at it in the mirror and going, like, how much are we going to give to this guy and how do we expect him to go?
Before the playoffs, we talked about the, you know, the, as much as fun as we were having with the moment and the present, you know, like, well, what's the off season? What are the priorities going to be? And Benson's name came up in here and I said, oh, that's a bridge. It's easy. That's a bridge contract. You're not really sure what his ceiling is yet. And then the playoffs happen and I'm like, yeah, okay.
Lock him up.
Screw that. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Joe Yurden from Bleacher Report on the Western Hotline with us. So how about the Sabres? Like, are you – the vibe this week that I've mostly gotten, it started on Monday afternoon when I talked to Wyshynski, is that the kingpin guys that we thought would get moved, really none of them have been moved. That's Larkin, that's Hollebuck, that's Jason Robertson. I don't know mm-hmm. that Nyes belongs in that conversation. I guess I wish he would because I love him very, very much, almost too much. It hurts, Joe. So might we have a busier July than normal? Because I would think teams are going to, even if they'd be dragged kicking and screaming, are going to want to alleviate situations where guys have asked out.
You know, part of me thinks it was busy enough, honestly. Like, teams just, like, kind of took care of the business that was out there, but it still feels like a lot was left on the hook. And, you know, part of that's Robertson just because that was such a big deal. It will be a big deal. Whenever, you know, if he signs for 1 year, okay. Fast forward to next summer when we're talking about him again as maybe as a unrestricted free agent, which would be bonkers. You know, and, you know, all the Hellebuck stuff from before the draft, during the draft, and, you know, afterwards it cooled off. And, you know, anywhere I go now, folks are like, is this going to get done? Is this happening? And I'm like, I keep thinking, like, the time to get it done was the draft, just because the draft picks are whatever you want them to be. And when the draft picks are gone, it's like, well, all right, now we're kind of stuck based on the roster. And then you get past July 1st, and now you got no trade protections on guys. And it's like, okay, well, all right, how do you make this work out of that? It's like making something that could have been very easy into something very difficult. And I think that's maybe the spot we're in with some of these other players that were out there allegedly, you know, reported to be available, whatever, what have you. I think we're in a spot where it's a little bit more difficult because if you're offering roster guys, like, you know, July 1st kind of changes that. And teams, the NHL is so, like, old school set that everybody wants to get on vacation. Everybody wants to take a couple of months off because it's a 10-month rigor of day in, day out. Let's just try to get things done and figure it out. But I don't know, man. Like, Dylan Larkin's still out there. Jason Robertson will get his stuff figured out. Connor Hellebuck's still in Winnipeg. That's a lot of big fish. It's a lot of big fish who are still out there that could get moved. And there's teams that can make that happen. And I just wonder, you know, when those GM's phones get turned back on after they've spent some time at the cottage.
Marchenko's another name too, Joe, that's like kind of been out there for Columbus after the whole Werwinski was like, yes, but no. And now I'm dedicated and I'm, you know, moving forward here in Columbus. Yikes. But, you know, I've never been a huge, I know Joe, you know, Sneaky Joe on the morning show has sort of been, you know, ringing the bell for Hellebuck. I'm not sure that I've ever really been fully on board with them, especially trading young assets or even a roster player or two, which is what it sounds like it was, you know, going to take to get Hellebuck. And now I do wonder how much, you know, the Jets maybe have lost a little leverage in this Hellebuck conversation, and Yarmo waiting them out ends up being a nice goal for them and they end up paying less than they would have at the draft. I don't know. But I guess where I get to, Joe, is, you know, we're hearing guys like, you know, Jack Quinn's name being thrown around, Ryan McLeod's name being thrown around. I do wonder that right now they appear to be, and it sounds like Patrick Kane is a potential. They've got a lot of forwards. I don't know that I'm in the camp, Joe, and now you can tell me if you're in this camp or not, that, like, I'm going to move a couple of them and one, whether it's Mertka or one of these other young, you know, players you've drafted the last couple of seasons, but I'm kind of still big fish hunting for a legit number one center or another scoring winger to replace Tuck rather than the goalie. I don't know if that's where you sit, but it feels like they almost can't be done.
I'm of the same mind. I feel like Buffalo isn't done, which is, you know, I feel like the defense is kind of squirreled away. I think that's kind of done. Forward, you've got a lot of guys, and a lot of them are really young. And, you know, a lot of, you know, I think the big catch here is that Lindy likes a lot of them. You know, he really likes Noah Osland. Who doesn't? I think he really likes Konstantin Hellenius. Who wouldn't? When you've got guys like that, and he speaks very highly of Yuri Kulik, which, you know, hey, if he's ready to play, then cool. Let's go. Let's see what he's got. But it's a lot of guys. It's a lot of guys, and you have a lot of kind of questions. And I think the playoffs left you with a lot of questions as well, based on some guys' performances. Maybe it's like Ryan McLeod was a guy where I was like, boy, he would have liked to have seen more from him during the postseason. I think that would have been helpful. In Quinn's case, I think you may be looking ahead to maybe another, you know, what his next contract's going to look like. And, you know, given where things are going, I don't know if I like the future, what that could turn out to be. But I think maybe you have to start, and this is the thing for the GMs, they have to start getting their ducks in a row here, like maybe 2 years in advance, 3 years in advance, start looking ahead to like, what's this, you know, what's a guy going to cost? Where do we see our holes in the lineup developing, and where do we think things are going to go? And I think that's a lot where it's a lot where like Yarmo Kekalainen's got to kind of look at things and see where it's headed. And maybe that's why things are kind of in that quiet space where it's a little too quiet, you know?
Yeah. You know, what is your perception of the, what is the Kane thing right now? Is it wishful thinking based in South Buffalo? Like people start talking there and it just sort of gets trapped. I'm not being jerky about it. I mean, I just, yeah. You know, he's popular in that part of town, maybe popular all over town. Like it's an interesting idea. I'm just not sure if it's all not dot connecting because Here's the thing. I mean, we're talking about all these forwards. Joe, like I sat here on free agency day and I did the lines like a little kid would do, and yep. I forgot Osland. I didn't have a spot for Osland. I mean, I don't want to put him at fourth line center. That seems stupid. So I've got Carrick there, and now what am I doing? So yesterday I think I stumbled into, okay, if the Hellebuck thing is still percolating, I don't know if I can include Luukkonen in that anymore. I mean, he's now got five team no trade. I don't know who those five teams are, but I might guess that one of them is Winnipeg. I don't know. So like you've muddied that up. So you get to like, you just mentioned two of the guys, McLeod, Quinn, Mertka, something else for Hellebuck. And now I put Patrick Kane in Quinn's spot and I put Osland in McLeod's spot and I'm done. There's my team.
Yeah.
All I got to do is make these two, complete these two transactions. One of which I think the Sabres have been working on for a month.
You know, I'll confess something to you right now. What you've penciled out is something that I've had in my head for maybe about since this Hellebuck stuff really started kicking into gear. As far as like a foundation of a trade to acquire a guy like Connor Hellebuck, it's my own roster machination sort of ideas. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to move a Quinn, you're going to move in a McLeod, and it's probably not Luukkonen, so you probably have to move Lyon, which then you're investing a lot of money into goaltending at that point. But you're talking about moving out a lot of salary, but also having to probably take out, well, you know, Hellebuck's $8 million. You probably have to add another bit of salary on top of that and maybe signing Kane. So I was thinking, like, I don't know, maybe you're asking for Eden's Alex Iafallo to be part of that deal or something like that, you know, something along those lines where you're just, and again, this isn't based on conversation. This isn't based on any sort of, you know, information from the inside. This is just like
staring at the roster.
This is basically in between. This is like halftime of a Newcastle game at Fatty. This is basically the same conversation. Yes.
This is just so we don't get radioed on this one. So it's, you know, so it's everywhere, but
that's correct. That's right.
But it's, you know, that's the kind of like the framework where I'm like, maybe that's an idea that, you know, that gets the conversation going again. You probably have to give up some prospects. You probably have to give up a big prospect. I can't say multiple prospects.
It's
got
to be something that's going to hurt, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Not that Mertka wouldn't hurt, but like something that's going to hurt.
Right. And a guy like Mertka would hurt a lot. Like that's a guy you're looking at being a top four guy at some point in the future. You know, that maybe that's why you draft Dax and Rudolph. You know, maybe that's because you're kind of softening the blow to move a guy like Mertka. And then, you know, you're just kind of rewinding it like that. But to me, to get a guy like Kane in Buffalo, and like, yeah, I'm sure a lot of that conversation reverberates around Imperial Pizza down in South Buffalo. But like, I think the idea is, I don't think it's as outrageous as it has been the last couple of summers where he's been available, because the Sabres were not a playoff team. They were not, you know, let's be honest, they were not close to looking like a playoff team, but now it's like, oh, they made it to the second round. They were a whisper away from the conference finals. there for real. And let's face it, Patrick Kane wants to play in the playoffs again. That's why he went to Detroit. Detroit's been close. Now they don't look like they're that close, especially if they move Dylan Larkin. So if he can come home and it's available and it's open to him, I think he would love that. But, you know, I think we know what Kane's abilities and skills are. Great offensively, great on the power play, great on all that. The rest of it might drive Lindy a little crazy, but, yeah. You know, I think for what he can do and what he can add to a power play, I think that's something everybody would agree is something that could help the Sabres out too.
So I know you've mentioned Dylan Larkin's name a couple of times since we've had you on, and I think Bulldog and I are both in the same camp. I know a lot of people. I don't think it's even on the table for Dylan Larkin. You know, he's best friends with Jack Eichel, and it just does not appear to me to be something like a move that the Sabres could really swing. So I want to ask you more about just the general situation in Detroit right now and kind of the position that Larkin has put that franchise in, because he's got term left. He does not have the same situation, you know, some of these other guys,
Werenski, where
they're a year from, you know, a big payday, and if they're not signing, it's time to, you know, the fire is lit for me. But, like, you know, if you're moving Larkin and Kane's out the door and DeBrincat is in a position where he's a year away from UFA. So what do you make of Detroit and the position Steve Yzerman's in?
It's messy.
Maybe they missed their window, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, they've had such bad runs at the end of the season the last 2-3 years where, you know, you're 2 months out from the end of the season, you're thinking like, oh, Detroit's back. They're going to get there. And then just the wheels completely come off. And, you know, it happened again last season. It happened to them every year now for 3 years. And in Larkin's case, I think, you know, the Olympic success and then just being like, man, I don't like where this is headed. This is, you know, it's going to be the same stuff every year. Get me out of here. I think in his case, like, limiting it to just a couple of teams makes it really hard to get out of there. And, like, listen, I know you want to control your destiny, and you can do that to a degree, but boy, oh boy, man. Like, to just be like, yeah, Minnesota or Vegas, like, that's it. Like, I two capped out teams that have lots of guys on no moves. Good luck, dude.
Yeah.
And I think Yzerman, you know, listen, Yzerman's not a guy I would want to be on the wrong side of. Based on his playing career and how intimidating he can be, to draw a line with a guy like that who has to feel pretty emboldened at his position as an executive in with the team where his number's hanging in the rafters, I have to imagine him saying, like, well, we're not going to move him if we don't have to, which is a heck of a thing to say for a guy that's like, yeah, get me out of here. It's a really bad spot for Dylan, because you're looking at a guy who's probably going to get the C ripped off his chest and might get booed opening night in Detroit. And I don't like that at all, honestly. But, like, what's he going to do? He can't hold out. He can't do any of that. So, I mean, if he doesn't show up, I mean, you're going to get fined every day. And then, I don't know if I'm Vegas or Minnesota, I'm like, well, I guess he wants to come here, but, like, do I want him? I don't know.
The five years is the thing. I wonder, like, I'm sure he got advice ahead of time. It's not something that you would have done willy-nilly here. Just like, I'm going to just tell him I want out, or I'm going to leak it or whatever. But I'm just imagining him and his agent sitting on a dock somewhere in Ontario enjoying a sunset, and his agent just... Dude, you got 5 years.
Like, yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
Maybe we brought in this to
only
five teams.
So much, yeah. I can do. He did add Dallas today.
He did add Dallas.
So let's give him some credit. I mean, at least he did that. So generous.
It's crazy to add Dallas, because it's like, hey, man, we just cleared a lot of space to sign our other superstar guy for like $15 million a year.
Right,
so, like,
right.
I don't know if we got the room for you here, pal. To me, it's the kind of thing where I think if I'm in Yzerman's spot, I'm like, well, how desperate do you want to be? Are you desperate enough that you want us to mutually agree to nullify a massive contract, cost yourself all these millions of dollars, and then you sign for dirt cheap with one of these teams, and then hope that maybe you go to the playoffs, win a Stanley Cup, whatever. Like,
That's not happening, right?
That's never happened. You'd never throw away, like, what, 30, 35, 40 million, like, whatever, I forget what his contract is, but, like, that's a ton of money. You're not throwing away. We're not talking Patrick Berglund going to Sweden and saying, forget it, I'm never coming back.
Right, like, right.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about a guy that wants to play somewhere else in the same league the next season with the same money.
All right, Joe. Well, let's all cross our fingers and toes and hope for some more news, which would mean more reason to call you again.
Because I'm all for it.
Thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm glad we didn't have to pull you away from soccer like we did so rudely the last time you were on with us. And by the way, if you're not, you're probably watching while you're talking to us. Mbappe just scored an incredible goal to put France up. You're not taping this and watching later, are you, Joe?
No, I'm not a lunatic. No, sorry. I would not.
Sorry. I was 99% kidding, but I just wanted to make sure. Anyway, thanks a lot for the time, man. Appreciate it. Joe Yerden from the he was speaking there and we hung up on him.
You know, it's funny though, you make that joke. My grandfather recorded every single Yankee game. Every one. And then watched them. I don't know why. You just wouldn't watch it live.
Later.
I mean, a lot of those games are night games.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he was just for the next day. Yeah. But it would be like we would come over and the first thing he would say is, don't tell me about the Yankees game. And I would say, Gramps, I hate the Yankees. Yeah. I wouldn't know what the score of the Yankees game is. But, you know, that's a different time. Again, you've never seemed closer to retirement. So
it hurts. It's just as simple as that. Mbappe, it was fantastic.
It was
France is
sexy.
Up 1-0 on Morocco in the 63rd minute. Of their quarterfinal matchup.
It did look like a handball just before.
Mm.
And Morocco was not happy. Mm. Like the change of possession,
I did not catch that.
You were in the process of asking a very thought-provoking question. I was watching soccer when that happened. So,
well, we're a good team.
Yeah, truly.
Nate Geary's in for Mike. I am the Bulldog. 803-0550 is the number. We'll be back right after this on W.
But I'm a worry there. And the other red flag is, yeah, the Bears seem to be ascending. And part of their ascendance was, you know, we don't need DJ Moore anymore. This is a team that should be like, hey, we're all in. And instead of like, hey, we're going to make this guy available. I don't think he's the Stephon Diggs you're seeking. I think he's going to help. But this is going to be another year of Bills receiver by committee. And that's okay. But we keep seeing Bills receiver by committee with Joe Brady in charge of it. We keep seeing this. And we keep seeing it not being the thing that launches Josh Allen to the stratosphere, so to speak. So I think he helps. I think he's a good addition. I think there needs to be more at wide receiver.
Can I interest you in a gently used Brandon Cooks? How's that for an idea? That's Mike Tenier from earlier today with us talking about the Bills' wide receiver room. Did you see Graham's piece in The Athletic today on Brandon Cooks?
Yes, would like to. Well, I did also see a thing that he still thinks it was a catch.
Yeah.
Here into that sort of thing. But yeah, he enjoyed his time in Buffalo, would like to be back.
There's still a lot of that out there. People that I consider completely level-headed, reasonable, normal friends.
That you've lost to the catch.
I don't let something like that divide us, Nate.
Good.
I'm a unifier.
I have known that about you. That's one thing. So when I first met you, I'm pretty sure you introduced yourself as the unifier to me, which at the time was weird, but now makes a lot of sense.
So tired.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
Well, listen, you got one more day.
803-0550 is the number. I'm just kidding around anyway. I thought it was embarrassing for a contending level team to have their last two passes of the season intended for Mecole Hardman and Brandon Cooks.
You said it, pal.
Huge but, all caps, two T's, but. I think I would, given the state of their room, I would entertain Brandon Cooks. I thought, you know, what was really interesting about, I mentioned this piece, Tim Graham from The Athletic, longtime friend of mine, and he's been in this chair that I'm sitting in for a while now, co-hosting with Brad Ryder before our show. In the piece that he talked to Brandon Cooks for, Cooks said, I want to get signed and I want to be in camp. Camp is where you build the calluses.
Yeah.
Having read that, I might have sat here and said, he wants to sign, but he's going to wait until like mid-August.
Because that's kind of what
that's what a receiver, that's what any player in that position, but receivers, it feels like there's a guy or two every year that does that. But he's saying, no, I want the full I want the full thing. I want to come for camp, and I want to start there, and we'll see, man. I think
I don't know what it would take, but it kind of feels like it would be either him or Josh Palmer.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say is when we've talked with Sal about this, maybe it's unlikely that it happens before camp, because in like Sal's scenario is basically they get into it and it's, you know, Josh Palmer's working on the side because of a soft tissue problem and whatever. Oh, he's back. Oh, he's out again. And if we get a couple of rounds of that, you know, early enough in camp,
pull the plug.
That's when they just go, you know what? We're not doing this again. You know, this is move on, and we got a guy. But, you know, there's no reason you couldn't bring him in ahead of time. I mean, it's the NFL. There should be competition there. So
would agree.
Not that big a deal. And I'm sure it'll be, would be, easy for me to say, a pretty modest commitment, right? So even if it doesn't work out, I don't think you'd be, like, pinned underneath anything.
I'm not super surprised he's unsigned. Tanier talked about it earlier, the state of the Bills wide receiver room, having a streak free agent that got cut from a team that wasn't good coming in and basically taking over as your team's number one receiver is not usually a good sign of the state of your receiver room. But I think you look at the players that left this roster, and all of them are free. All of them are still available for the most part. It's definitely a point to be made about how good they might or might not have actually been and how much Josh Allen covers up. But I think you could say the same thing about Kansas City. You could say the same thing about, I mean, Kansas City's not that good of a team without the best quarterback in the league. And shocker.
Go figure.
And the Ravens, same thing. I mean, they're not a playoff team when Lamar Jackson's injured. But, like, I don't know, man. I would agree with you. I think if you've got a worry about Josh Palmer, which I think, how could you not, get him in here for training camp, you know? And honestly, I don't think it could hurt to have another guy that Josh throws the ball deep to. Because I think we all want more of it.
Right, exactly. 803-0550 is the number. France scored a second goal during the commercial break we were in there. So 76th minute now, up 2-0 on Morocco. So I don't want to say lights out. We've seen some late game drama during the World Cup. So,
yeah, a little different team, though. Yeah, a little different animal.
France.
Yeah, a little different animal.
Machine. Anyway, 803-0550. Greg is first up this segment. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing, man.
Yeah. So I guess as I've been following all of the Hellebuck trade talk, I think like there's just some like emotions that are behind it. And you guys even, you know, I guess I think of it as kind of like a big fish kind of anxiety or feeling that I have when it comes to anything of stature coming to Buffalo sports. And I think, and you talked about it just now with wide receivers, like back in January, February, March, there was a lot of talk around like Justin Jefferson as like a wide receiver trade target. It didn't turn into anything, of course, but I think like with Hellebuck, it's something where I always think about like after, you know, the game 7 loss against Montreal or after every Chiefs loss in January, we're all like pacing nervously in our kitchen or our living room, and we dread going to the grocery store because we have to see all the sadness and everything. It's like whenever we have off seasons like this, I'm just like, oh man, it makes me so anxious because all the talk, all the chatter, it just makes me want it even more so I don't have to go back to those, like, you know, 24 hours, 48 hours after another big playoff loss. Are you guys feeling the same way? It could just be me. I don't know. But I it's just like a lot of emotions, I guess, in this offseason where you know you're so close. And now we have a second team that is just like the Bills that, like, it is great to see. But also you want it even more for a big swing.
Yeah, I definitely feel that if I'm interpreting what you're asking correctly, do I find myself wanting Connor Hellebuck more as time goes by? The answer is absolutely yes. I didn't really like.
Is it though because of your wanting something?
Yes. No. That's
and
it.
He seems like the closest thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the first time we would have talked about Oh, did you hear Hellebuck left the sort of, sounds like he's rattling cages a little bit in Winnipeg. He might not want to be there anymore. Like, nope. Nope. He's 34. Yep. He's a goalie.
Yep.
No, you're going to go trade for Matthew Nyes. Go trade for Jason Robertson. Go trade for Robert Thomas. Go trade for Jordan Kyrou. Any name you want that wasn't a goalie, I'm right there with like, no, I'm going to make that trade. And then like none of that stuff materializes. And we keep hearing about Hellebuck, and I end up wanting something something I didn't want, I end up wanting. And that is not a healthy process. I totally recognize that. So if that's what the caller is sort of suggesting, that they're close, they were good, you've seen the offseason kind of – it hasn't gone yet, but it's come and almost gone. It often at this time of the year feels like it's gone, but as we've been talking about all week, there's still these big fish out there, including Hellebuck, so maybe there's still going to be action. Yeah, I want something. I want some evidence that you are going to improve the team, because I do not think, sight unseen, Hellenius in Tuck's spot improves the team.
And I don't want to get into the same, we talked about this Tuesday, I just don't want to be in the mindset that Brandon Bean had, which is like, and not even to say that I need them to trade their next four first-round picks or anything like that, but I guess I want to feel like their goal is to win a Stanley Cup, and right now, I felt like they needed to be a little better than they were last year to win a Stanley Cup, and they might be just a hair marginally worse.
Right.
Or at least less known than what I feel like you got to learn about what the team was last year. I just think a move needs to be made.
Yeah.
A move needs to be made.
Thank you very much for the call. I like the question.
I would trade four first-round picks.
Assuming I interpreted it correctly. I think I did. Anyway, thank you for that. He's Nate Geary. I am the Bulldog, and we'll be back for more right after this on WGR.